Double whammy right now. We have a pre-Shavuos, pre-Matan Torah. Again, I'll be with Shavuos Shabbos, and we'll discuss more of this, those of you who are here with me, about preparing ourselves properly and some important topics to realize about Bamidbar and about Matan Torah. But I want to begin just to whet your appetite. Whet, W-H-E-T. Though if you asked the spelling and pronunciation of things, apparently there's different ways of spelling things, and we had a discussion in the Seder. Anyways, there's a fascinating Ma'ariv Chazal that when the Jews got the Torah at Har Sinai, they saw the digalim, the formation that we are currently learning about right now, how the formation was broken down. They saw the angels like greet them in a form of the same digalim, the same formation. And it says they were very envious of that like formation, whatever that means, and they so much wanted to have that. And we see over here, their hopes were realized. We split them into formations starting this week's Parsha, Bamidbar. And they start to have, you know, four tribes here, three tribes here, three tribes here, three here, three here. Their encampments are fashioned and formed after the formation they saw the Malachim in when they got the Torah. The Rabbi Echad Meskhi, Emes Adafo, brings down and he asks the following question. He says, I don't understand. Why do we wait until now to make those formations? We got the Torah already a long time ago, right? Part of Yisrael. We already had the end of Shmos and all of Sefer Vayikra. Since then, why do we wait until so much longer down the line to and that's why it's over here, the parsha starts here, this is the second year in the Midbar already, the second year. So why are we waiting almost a whole year later to give this formation a place in our encampments? Why not do it right away? One question that he asks. Second question I want to point out to you, second I want to point out to you, we'll get to this later on also, is if you look in the Masechta Shabbos, which again, over the course of Shabbos we'll look at together, which is all the Gemaras, let's just say all of them, a concentration of Gemaras that Gemara and Shabbos stuff, Peches, Pezayin, that describe Matan Torah. They describe what happened in Matan Torah, our role in Matan Torah. And it says Moshe Rabbeinu says he did three things on his own, like in his lifetime, three things that he did on his own. And they were all Matan Torah related. Now, you would think Matan Torah is a time for us like to kind of like be a clean. The Mikado, right? Just take it. Like we, what do we say? It's not official. Whatever you tell them, we're going to do. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu did three things. The three things that he decided his own to do related to Matan Torah. I'll tell you what they were. You don't know what they are? Who the Moshe Rabbeinu did that Hashem agreed with him on? What's that? No, that was during Matan Torah. Excellent. Separated from his wife forever. That was one thing he did. Broke glucose, excellent. Number two. Number three is what I want to talk about right now. Number three, you didn't get it yet. If you look at the Torah, Hashem tells Bnei Israel, separate Hayom u'Machar. Like to go through a tower process, Hayom u'Machar. And Moshe Rabbeinu adds a third day. For 3 days, he told everyone you cannot be with your spouses. That's what we call it today. I told my son, I said, I want you to come with me for Shabbos. I told one of my sons, just to tell you how this came up in Halacha recently. So my son said, you come to Shabbos? He goes to me, during Shlosh Shimei Hagbalah? See, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. If you hadn't done that, I could have had him for Shabbos because it's the only Shimei Hagbalah that it'll be. But 3 days of separation of the Kedusha of the nation, separated from their wives for 3 days, supposed to be only 2 days. But Moshe added a third day, which, by the way, is starting tonight. Tonight's the third day. Tonight and tomorrow is the beginning. It's the Moshe Rabbeinu add-on to Shavuos. What place do we have adding on to Torah in that regard? It's something Hashem tells us what to do. We just do it. Why, how do we get involved? How do Moshe Rabbeinu add it on? Why is that okay? And what does it mean for us regarding tonight and tomorrow? That is the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's add-on. What does it mean? Okay. The very first pasuk in Bamidbar, Midbar Shem Moshe, Midbar Sinai Bol Moed. The Midbar Sinai, I'm just open my phone for a second so I can read you the pasukim inside that I'm about to quote for you. The Midbar Sinai is how we call this place, this location. Why don't we reference Har Sinai? Right, this is by Har Sinai area, Midbar Sinai. We should call it Har Sinai. After all, that's our connection to Sinai is the Har we got the Torah on. So why don't we do that? So, happens to be that read it for you. There are four different ways, three different ways that we reference the Torah. We reference like what the Torah is like. One is a midbar, we have over here in our parsha. We just quoted just now. One is Eish. It says over here, Vahar Sinai, Ashan Kulom Ne'asher Mipnei, Asher Yerad Alav Hashem Ba'ish. That we have a fire experience with Matan Torah. And one is water. Gam Shamayim Natfu, Gam Avim Natfu Mayim. Referring to a description of Matan Torah. So we describe the Torah in terms of Midbar, in terms of Ish, and in terms of Mayim. Why? So there's a sefer I got a number of years ago from a Talmud of mine that it's called Chachma Musar. Rav Broid. Remember something later on. Remember it. Rav Broid, I think. Anyway, sefer Chachma Musar is a great sefer. He explains these three things have in common in the following point. He quotes Maimon Chazal for this. All three things are available for anyone. You can find them anywhere. Midbars are there. The desert exists. Water, rainwater, lake water. You can find water anywhere you want. And fire is someone is a fairly accessible, whatever you want to call it. It's not a wrong word. It's not worth looking for, but it's fairly accessible. All three of the ways we describe Torah are very accessible things. And the reason why he brings it down is because there's nobody who can't find their place or their way to attach to Torah. Nobody. It's accessible. As a matter of fact, the Chafetz Chaim brings down in a statement called Torah Sabayis, and that's something you have in the base Medrash. This is one reason why Torah is so like put aside. Because how important could it be if everyone get their hands on it? How important could it be if everyone has access to it? So we're used to seeing what's the most, like the rarest things are worth the most money because they're so rare. But by doing that, we start to mistreat things that are very common. Because we say, oh, it can't be that important, everyone gets their hands on that. But the opposite, the Torah is the most kadosh thing. Air! Can anything be more important than air? How much would you buy air for? For anything! I can't live without air! But we don't think about it because we're naturally breathing. But air is such an important thing, it's what we live with. The fact that Torah is accessible doesn't make it not important. It just makes us unfortunate look at it that way. But it really can be found anywhere. And that's really the greatness of it. We'll talk about Eish for a minute. Talk about the idea of Eish with Torah. So Eish is a very unique quality. That if you really want to use Eish, you have to get close to it. If you want to, let's say we're cold. Right now we're having this constant debate in our shir. Hot, cold. If I want to be warm by fire, I got to get close to it. I'm so far away, I can't feel it. At the same time, if I get too close to it, I'm going to get burned. The Torah, again, the Chachma Musar, the Sefer brings down, the Torah is compared to Eish because you have to have a tremendous interest in getting close to it, but it have a certain respect to be distant as well. When you're on the couch reading a book, you know, at nighttime, so you put your feet up and chill by the book. But you shouldn't be doing that when it comes to learning. I don't mean that you can't learn and chill also. Of course you can. But when you're learning in the base of Medrash, you know, a lot of people do this, myself included, and I'm guilty of it also. They have a shtender, they like, you know, tilt it back, right? The tilt back, shtender move. Let it learn down, sitting back. You know, I've seen a guy with his foot up on the chair next to him while he's learning. We in a country club? This is Torah. No wonder that we're not inspired by learning when I'm sitting here with my feet up and I'm learning and I'm reading. It's a chill for me. So he says, Torah's not a chill. It's an ish. You want to get it, you got to get close to it. But you have to also have some level of respect without being too close. It's very easy when you feel close to it to feel like, yeah, it's not a big deal. If you don't understand what you're dealing with, which I mentioned to you, I think, in Shir a few weeks ago, one of the big fallouts, Oprah Winfrey quoted this with Meghan Markle, is that when she was told to learn how to curtsy when she meets the Queen, her future grandmother-in-law. So she said, I don't understand. It's private, it's family, she's your grandmother. And they said, no, she's the Queen. When you're so comfortable, there's no, we don't have this idea outside of England of like royalty. She's another person. It's another person. There's no idea of like, you know, when you're by yourself, it's just a person. Like, who here stands up for their parent when they walk in the room. Your parent walks in the room. Is there your parent? No, me either. I don't either. But it's brought down. Come on to your parents. Well, stand up for them when they walk into a room. Why don't you think that way? Because it's my dad. It's my mom. What do you mean? I'm not stand up for my parents. It's my parents. Well, chill. That's not how Torah works. Your dad or your mom should be muchel you. You don't stand up for me. It's okay. You don't stand up for me. You're my kid. Don't worry about it. But the idea is that we don't even think for a second. I'm so used to it. I don't feel towards Torah also. I've been given Torah learning for so long already. Stuff in the first grade. I look at it as like a kid looks at something, a study. So for us, Torah is supposed to be like ish. We don't treat it that way. That's one model of Torah. Model number two, Midbar, the desert. You're supposed to put yourself, desert is like the lowest thing. It's lowly. You're supposed to look at Torah as being, it defines us. We don't give our own two cents to Torah. Who am I to decide what Torah is good, what Torah is not good? It's not my call to make. I'm like a Midbar. If I accept the Torah as a Midbar, as I'm a Midbar, then I'm realizing that I have to put my interests and my thoughts behind me. When you get to a sugya that you don't like so much, this should be your dream come true. Because then I have to show up, I gotta show up to Baruch Hu. It's not for me, it's for you. Otherwise I wouldn't be doing this right now. To get involved in a halachic thing that I'm not good at, I don't like so much, and I gut it out, that's the greatest schus that you have. You should love those opportunities. A sugya is very exciting, that it's my, up my wheel, you know, it's my, in my wheelhouse, I like doing these type of things. Okay? I'm happy you enjoyed it. But what matters more is when you don't like it, you do it anyways. The midbar is supposed to be that someone realizing that my personal stats don't matter as much. It matters more of being part of a group. I remember I saw a movie called Remember the Titans back in the day. Great flick. And it's one of the few you could probably still watch today if you care about your eyes and your neshama. There's a scene there, again, with racial, you know, tensions going on. And Julius, who was the black linebacker, and the white linebacker named Bertram, I forget his name, something like that. They have it out. They have it out. Why? Because the white guy tells the black guy, you're looking for your stats. You're not supposed to get the tackle. You're supposed to get the other blocker and get you so I can tackle sometimes. It's not about you. It's about we're part of something much bigger. Which is why if any of you does anything wrong at all, that's painful for me. If I'm a midbar, it means it's not about me. I'm not in the limelight. I'm not looking to be in the limelight. Every person has to fill a role. And if that's how you look at the world, like a midbar, then you belong with the Torah. And that's, by the way, what happens with the Degalim. That's our first question we ask, Amazako says. Hakaretsky brings down, he says, that's why we waited to encamp in this formation. Because until we had it, we waited until we were given the Mishkan and the Luchos that we could have an encampment around that. Because if you look at how the Degalim worked, it was teams. It was talent. It was colors. It was like one big color war. We had a huge 40-year color war. These tribes versus those tribes, they had their own flags, their own colors, their own talents, their own skill sets. And it could have been civil war. We had to wait till we were given a Torah that would at least centralize us together. Now, we're one people with different talents and skill sets working together. When I play on a sports team, so every position is different, filled with different type of people, different quicknesses, different sizes. It's only important if they're part of a team together. The Mishkan with the Torah created a team. When you have a team that you can surround, then we're allowed to be different. Because we all respect, we have a role. It's like my right hand and my left foot aren't fighting. They have very different roles. You don't have to pick and choose. You're both involved. You're both serving the body. So when it comes to Torah, if you look at yourself like a midbar, like, I want to be a role player. Whatever the Torah wants from me, I want to do. That's my role. Then we can start camping in teams. But until I have a centralizing focus, which is what the Torah is, what the Mishkan is, what the Mishkan and the Kiddum are finally built in Sefer Yikra, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for us to get the Mishkan in play. To have everything built together so now I can break up into teams and we still be one unit of people. That's the midbar. Enough right now on the last part, which is Mayim. Water is an unbelievable thing. We look at Shemayim and we look at arts, and they're like different between heaven and earth. That's what it is, heaven and earth, right? It's different. It's so far away. Mayim bridges the gap. Mayim starts in the heavens, and it comes down to the earth. That's what Mayim does. And therefore, Mayim shows us there's a connection. It's not distant. It's not distant. There's a connection constantly from heaven to earth. And it provides the earth with everything, with sustenance, with life. There's a unbelievable gematria that I saw quoted today, that the word sulam, a ladder, connecting top to bottom, is the same exact gematria as the word Sinai. Sinai created a sulam. Until I get the Torah, I do not feel heaven on earth. I don't. I feel earth on earth. Torah gave us the ability, like Mayim, to feel heaven on earth. Yaakov Avinu had the famous dream, and in his dream he saw Malachim, back, heaven, earth, earth, heaven. He saw a sulam that was connecting earth to heaven. And you know what it was in? It was in a dream. But it used to be a reality. The Torah brings that dream to become a reality for us. That now heaven and earth can coexist. But only if you look at Sinai as at sulam, as that connection. Which means that Torah for you is your life. It gives you the feeling of in this world being something special. But if Torah for you is a burden and it's a bother, then you will never feel what the point of the world was all about. The Mayim that comes along with Kabbalah to Torah. You're never going to feel it at the end. And that's what I believe is why Moshe could add this third day. Because when the Torah becomes a way that we in this world now get to sense God, then it only makes sense that we can be part of that process. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to create an extra day on, because that day says to Hashem, we want to be part of the Kabbalah Torah, not only as a receiver, but as a giver, as putting ourselves out, not only as a kli, but as an active person. That's why if you look in the Beis Medrash, you'll find how many Sfarim written over on Shas by rabbis. They had a recent, my brother, my nephew just sent that to our chat group this morning, that they ranked the top 10 Sfarim that were made this year for Klal Yisrael. My brother Sefer was one of them, apparently. I don't know who decided, who voted on this one. The fact that today we can still be giving over information and writing books to change our lives because you believe that our Sinai created a sulam to change the world from heaven to earth. That's what the point of Matan Torah is and was. And as we read about these three descriptions, about Mayim, about Esh, and about Midbar, those are the three things that you require to be Mekabel the Torah properly. And if you have one, not the other one, or anything, not the other one, then you're missing it out. You're missing out. So to realize, number one, is that I have to look at myself as a role player. I'm not the guy. I'm a guy. It's part of a big, big picture. As one. And I'm talking to you about something that's so special and precious. Dangerously so. That treating it with disrespect, it's gonna ruin me. It's the queen. I know the queen already. She's my grandmother-in-law. I don't have to stand up. I don't have to curtsy for her. No, you do. Ish. But get close enough that you feel it. And finally, Mayim. That it's the connection. It's the sulam, Sinai. It goes from Shemayim to earth. It creates the world the way it's supposed to be. It makes the world grow physically and spiritually. Mayim is the physical part. The Torah is the spiritual part. That is the ladder that God gives when he gives the Torah at Har Sinai. We're about to go under that moment in time. I mentioned it every time we saw this, it's a sphere. And we're about to have the moments in time, the Midbar, the Mayim, the Ish moment in a few days from now. But you have to be ready to take each of these three roles upon yourself. I'm a Kabbal, my role in Klal Yisrael, not the man. I'm a role player. I'm a Kabbal to need to treat with respect, but to want to get as close as I can at the same time. And I'm a Kabbal to the idea that my life will never be the same. It will not be what it's here for without water, without Torah. My plants will not grow without water. And I cannot grow without Torah. My body can, my soul cannot. It's not like a bonus. Your plant will die. You will die. Your neshama will not exist without Torah. If you have those things in mind, then as we begin the same by Midbar, which is going to describe a lot of unbelievable things that happen in Midbar with us as we camped. Most of the time spent in the bar is in the Sefer. to appreciate the journey that it takes to become a Mekabel of Torah, if you're still going to have a beautiful Shabbos and preparation time to receive the Torah with Kedusha and Tara, have a great Shabbos.